Bring boobs back.
Nope, boobs is out. Oh, boobs is making a lot of friends. So stop looking at the imaginary character out there. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
And in Vancouver, it is the start of cherry blossom season here. The season where people go, oh, look at the cherry blossoms. But this year, we look at, hey, are those going to come out or not? We don't know because the weather was weird. So it's like they're all kind of...
Ours are out.
They're all half-assing it around here. Yours are fully out?
Yeah, ours are fully out.
What people end up doing here is they open their doors because like, oh, it's spring. And then they go, ah, fucking cherry blossoms because they're all over the ground like snow. And like you're sweeping pink snow out the door.
We're a little farther south than you. So ours are out a little sooner.
Okay. Do you have some on your actual property?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yep.
Good on you.
Thank you.
So if you want to go take a look at Dave's cherry blossoms, now is the season.
I think this weekend, all the trees in our property will be abloom.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear it. It is actually one of the prettiest times of the year to come visit Vancouver. So if you do. And hey, if you do, maybe say hi.
Just
saying, say hi. Yeah. You're saying like, well, will we ever be able to see you in person? Not necessarily for this. We've still got our Eat With Us at White Spot contest open. Is it vague? It's so vague. It's ridiculous.
Very vague.
Just give us your name. In the future, when I've got my act together, we'll go to White Spot. Wait. What's the conditions of this? Look, the conditions are this. We'll just like draw your name out of a hat. We'll go to White Spot. We'll buy you a burger. That's it. It's nothing complicated. Don't make it weird.
Yeah.
Don't like, there's no math you have to do. We'll just.
Well, it is a contest, so we do have to have a skill testing question.
Oh, okay.
That's just a legal requirement.
And we go like, what are the odds?
Do you remember that one, like when you would go to McDonald's and they had contests and if you won, there was like a little math problem you'd have to solve? They were legally required to do that.
I was always scared of that when I was a kid.
Me too, that you'd blow it and wouldn't get the whatever you're getting.
The stuff, especially if you won $1 million. Imagine if you won $1 million and then they gave you that math thing.
Oh.
And then it was one of those situations where like, oh, it's all in a row, but wait, did you remember bed mass? Did you remember to do what's in brackets first? Or do you remember to do the multiplication first? Or do you do the division first? Mm. What do you do? Well, you don't do the addition first, for sure.
Yeah. They did keep it pretty simple.
They kept it very simple.
They didn't try to...
And they were like, can you have a piece of paper? Do you have to do it in your head? What's the situation? Like, that was the one thing when in school, they went like, what will I ever use math for?
Yeah.
Well, what if you win a Big Mac? Asked and answered. Mm-hmm. Let's get learning those times tables. All right. I'm done.
I did win a prize, and I did have to do the skill testing question one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was worried that I got it wrong.
And did you?
I don't think they even cared.
There was one, I remember, with the Tim Hortons contest where the person got the math wrong three times and then they weren't going to give them the thing, but then they sued and they won.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they took away that rule, maybe. Maybe that's when that rule went out the door.
It's possible, but I believe the reason for that was because the person was slightly developmentally disabled.
Yes.
So they were not able to do the math. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if this restricts access to this contest from this group, then you can't do that. And the lawyer went that, and they got their coffee or money, a lot of money maybe, or a coffee. I don't know what the prize was, but it was substantial.
It makes sense, and it wasn't really Tim Horton's fault. I mean, they were legally required to have this as a...
Because it was gambling otherwise.
Otherwise, it was gambling. That's right. And so you had to have like some sort of skill involved. So they just make these little very simple. They're very simple. I mean, the one I did was like 24 divided by 6, subtract 5.
Minus 1.
Yeah, there you go.
That's not simple. You're getting into negative numbers.
I think I blew it there actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you're gonna do
minus
the,
three, maybe. Minus three. It was very simple.
Two negatives, and we're going to get all positive somehow?
I got one. The answer was one, so it was minus three, yeah.
Didn't it bother you that when you multiplied two negative numbers, you got a positive number? That seems like bullshit.
Why?
Why? Because you got two negatives. You got negative 5. Oh, that's great. How about if you have 5 negative 5s? Oh, sounds great. So now you got a positive 25.
Yeah.
Fuck off! What do you mean?
Well, here... This
What's that about? Like, I understand. I absolutely understand the math. But it doesn't
now
feel
I get
like,
it.
When yeah,
I
of
was
course
a,
you do.
When I was a kid, I was mad about everything I learned.
Yeah, try dividing by 0. Oh, sure, that's not hard.
But you're also mad about French. You're also mad about French.
But French made sense.
You're like, why? No, it didn't make sense.
Sure.
Why are there different genders for these words?
Mm-hmm.
This is stupid. I'd have to learn la and la for different words. So it's dumb.
It's dumb, but it makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Two negatives
it's dumb. When you're a kid, it's
together,
dumb.
Making a positive. That makes no sense. Not being able to divide by 0. Like, what's 1 times 0? 0. Okay, let's go. But then what's 1 divided by? What's 0 divided by 1? You can't. Well, you just did the opposite, so why can't you reverse it? You just can't. Fuck you, math. Try harder. This is why you don't have that unification theory, because there's flaws.
Because there's flaws in
there's flaws.
Well,
also, long division, find a better way of doing that.
I would agree with you up to the point that without math, we wouldn't even have like anything close to a unification theory. So if that's...
Well, of course you would.
They've thrown the unification theory out the window anyway, so don't worry about it.
How about this? Maybe if we didn't have math, we'd all just pray a little harder, and maybe a voice would go, I'll tell you. You know? But we got all the math.
It'd just be Pee Wee Herman.
And the, I say we let them go. and then the voice goes, you're busy with math and bored by math. Forget it.
Hmm.
Yeah. Nope. And I'm not saying that voice is God. That voice could just be some floating gaseous entity that like bothers Star Trek folks when they get to a rogue planet or something.
That guy. Q.
Well, that's Q wasn't a gas. He was a dude.
You don't know. He disappeared to you as a human. He wasn't actually like a human form. He disappeared.
You know who was an omnipotent being who was a gas? Was Genie. And she was very attractive, but occasionally was a gas. But she was never a liquid. She was both a solid or a gas, but never turned into a liquid.
Huh. Unless she was... she never did turn into a liquid.
Unless she was crying. Or maybe she just turned into putty in Major, the Major's hands.
I think he was putty in her hands.
Well, maybe both.
Mm.
If you ever watch the pilot for I Dream of Jeannie, and you should...
Which one? The black and white one or the remake, the color remake?
No.
Where she speaks Persian.
No. You want to watch the black and white first one.
Okay.
It is sexy as nobody's business.
Well, yeah, she was allowed to, because later she wasn't allowed to show her midriff.
Not even that. Okay, she was always sexy. Yeah, I'll give you that. Very attractive. There we go. But the dialogue is sizzling in it.
Oh, wow.
Like to the end where it's like, you know, you're just like, well, they're going to go off and have sex right now. There's no two ways about it. This is the way this is ending. It's just like, well, I've learned my lesson, master. You certainly have, Genie. No way this ain't up the stairs after this or into the bottle. Yeah, it's a very, very sexy pilot.
Hmm. I don't think I've seen it at all. Mm-hmm. I watched a little bit of it because I was, as you know, a couple weeks ago, I did a... Strangely enough, we were speaking about I Dream of Genie, or we were talking about genies. So I did an I Dream of Genie title card. And so I did watch a little bit of the color version because I was looking for the opening titles for that.
But you didn't watch the animated version of Genie.
What's that?
There's an animated series called Genie.
Oh.
And the concept behind it was actually Mark Hamill's first speaking role, like in animation. And yeah, he's a surfer.
Role as a voice
and
actor?
What's that?
Role as a voice actor.
Voice actor.
Okay.
He crashes on a beach. There's the bottle. What comes out? Teenage Genie.
Oh.
Does not blink. She has a little ponytail. Flips her head. It goes zap.
Why did they call it Teeny?
Why didn't they call it Teeny?
Yeah.
She was not small.
Okay.
And then there was, she had a sidekick.
Yeah.
And that was an apprentice genie called Babu. And he was a Buddha-like figure, I would say.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar. But not any better.
Nope. And Genie was always jealous of the surfer going out with girls and would just do horrible things to the women. Hooray! As you would back in the day.
Yes. Nice.
Yep.
I'm not going to comment too much on I Dream of Genie because I have not seen it in 40 years, most likely.
All right, but what do you think was the better show, Bewitched or I Dream of Genie?
I think that was a long pause, everyone. I'm going to say,
okay,
gee, because I'm going to say Bewitched.
I'm going to agree with you because I saw all the supporting characters.
That's what I was going to say. There's way better supporting characters because my thing was I was going to go Genie because it had that other actor who was the sidekick character actor who was also in the Bill Newhart Daly? Show. Is that his name, Bill Daly?
I'm not sure, but it was in Newhart?
Something Daly. Yeah, he was also in the Newhart Show. He was
I always like to think
Howard.
That he's the same character.
He was Howard.
Newhart.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Newhart and in
could have
that
been.
Show, yeah.
Once he left the NASA, he went into, you know, he went into commercial airlines. Why not?
Yeah, that's a similar job. Like, what's you want to work for the airline? Mm-hmm. What'd you do before? I worked for NASA.
Well,
hired.
It's not just that it worked for
hired.
NASA. Most of the early... All of the early astronauts were jet pilots who were recruited into NASA.
It all works.
So
what's his name? The major. He went off to become an oil tycoon, and then Genie went off to join the Harper Valley PTA.
They all some went better places, others went not so good places.
By the way, this part of the show is called "Showing Our Age."
Yes. Yes, if you want to feel young, listen to this show.
That's right. And I say BJ and the Bear lost its way when they brought in the Seven Lady Truckers. And I don't care who says it. I hope you enjoyed the show where we talked about chips and HR Puff and stuff a couple of weeks ago. Well,
that was
Grandpa.
That was good. That was good though, because it was just so crazy. It was a crazy idea to have right. Mr. Puff stuff.
Look, we could talk. We could talk Riverdale if you need us to. You know, just let us know what you need us to talk about.
I can't talk about it. I've not been watching it.
Okay.
I could talk about it. I could talk about it. No, I couldn't talk about it at all. I watched a little bit of it.
How many episodes did you see?
Of Riverdale?
Yeah.
I haven't watched any of it.
I thought you just said you watched a couple of
episodes. No, I said I watched a little bit.
Well, that's what I just heard.
Yeah, just a little bit of
it's a little bit of an episode?
Yeah, like a couple of minutes.
Oh, okay.
Then. And I was like, I didn't,
Can't stop watching it. Still not sure if it's good. Can't stop watching it. Have to watch it. I am really curious what's going to happen when Sabrina shows up.
Sabrina's not going to show up, though. I thought she wasn't in the show.
She is.
Wow.
What I hope is this.
No, I'm curious, too.
That the first season is murder mystery.
Murder mystery.
Okay. And then second season, Sabrina shows up, and we just change genres a bit.
And then it's a horror.
And we just play, we play around with it. Yeah. And there's and the next season, we do something else Archie-ish.
Well, it's too bad they've already introduced the band, because the third season could be like a musical one.
They have not introduced the band.
I thought they had Josie and the Pussycats in it.
Yeah, but not the Archies.
Oh, so you're saying they could put the Archies in the third season and have it as a musical.
Sure.
That'd be fun. Like a road trip kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're like touring. And then they go to a skinhead place and then bad things happen to them.
And then you see Mr. Weatherby there and you don't realize, oh, you're not bald. You're actually just a racist.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Though I don't know. I think, that'd be tough because he's African-American in the TV series. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be a rough one for Mr. Weatherby.
Cognitive dissonance.
We'll
put it to that.
That's fair. What was I going to say about Riverdale? This was something I did like, was that they've got a gang in the town, right?
Yes.
And it's like the something serpents.
Okay.
And it's like, what's that from? And then I was listening to another podcast with the creator of the show, and he went, it was the gang from Little Archie. There was like a Little Archie rival gang that was always like pushing Little Archie around.
Oh.
And so they've taken that and they've made that into a big gang. So basically everything in the show, their rule is it's got to be from the comics in some capacity. They can twist it. They can alter it.
Yep.
But it's got to be characters that have been in the comics or a relationship that was in the comics. So everything that's in there is from there.
Wow. A little Easter egg for people who really like Little Archie.
Mm-hmm.
Which there are people...
Who love Little Archie.
Yeah, there are people who claim it's much better than the actual sort of semi-grown up Archie.
If you want to... Well, it is kind of to Archie what Uncle Scrooge was to Disney comics. You know, Disney comics are fine, but Uncle Scrooge had like mysteries and twists and turns and action and adventure, and it looked like characters were actually in danger. Like if Goofy falls off a roof, you're not worried Goofy's going to fall to his death.
Yeah.
But, you know, if Huey falls off, there could be some trouble in that thing. The Beagle Boys, I don't know what they're going to do.
They seem kind of...
And the same thing with Little Archie. There was mysteries, and it was a little bit more grounded. Mm-hmm. And, it was a pretty good book.
I don't know. I don't remember it. I remember the little snippets of it in the digest, but I don't remember it being like stellar. Like it just seemed like it was just part of the general. Archie's enjoyable, I think, because of the drawings, but the stories themselves are a little blah.
You mean Archie or Little Archie?
Archie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. They're just, they're what they are, and they're fine. Mm-hmm. And Archie falls down, and it's all fine.
Yeah.
The new Archie comics do a good job of kind of capturing the spirit of what was before and ground. It shouldn't work, but it does.
Okay.
You know, doing a more mature Archie sounds like a really terrible idea. Mm-hmm. But no, they seem to work fine. I'm not a big fan of even though people really like it. Speaking of Sabrina, the Sabrina thing, because there's a little too much gruesome violence in that for me. Even the Archie meets Predator, at one point Sabrina gets her spine torn out, which just seems like, I don't know. I'm not sure everything should be everything in this world. I see what you're doing, but to me, the TV show Riverdale, which might, to other people, go too far, it's fine. I'm all right with it. I think it works. You're a Teen Wolf man.
It's not that I'm a Teen Wolf man. It's just that I am a busy man, I have to really choose my things that.
And you can't watch TV when you're, say, coloring or anything.
No.
Okay.
No, because you have to look at what you're doing. You can't be looking up. And And if there's something I'm interested in watching, when I'm watching television, I don't have my computer in my hand or my phone or whatever. I just watch.
Give it the full focus.
I give it full focus. I don't understand the pleasure of not watching something while you're sitting in front of the television. Like, that just makes no sense.
What are your must-watch shows right now?
Not much. Grimm is over. Yeah. So sad. And it, by the way, it was a fantastic finale. Like,
now it's done.
It's done. Yeah, they had the final episode.
You were satisfied with the ending. I have not.
I could not believe how good it was.
Oh, good.
I could not believe how they left you. Like the episode took you like to super emotional place, and then it just went so far in that direction that you're just like so much loss that you're just like, is this how they're gonna end it? This is crazy. And then they back it up a bit. You know, they make it like so that you know. It's almost like the ending of The Wizard of Oz, like, you're here and you're here. And so it's a great, like, emotional ending to the show where he's so happy to see all his friends and everyone, even people that have been, like, sort of enemies or quasi-enemies or, oh, it's so great to see you, you know. And then it jumps ahead 20 years and you see their children as Grimms studying the lore and getting ready to go out and do their jobs.
They Harry Potter it.
But not in a Harry Potter way, which I felt a little bit forced, you know, or this... It really made it work, and it was a good ending. It was really good. It made you, and you're just like, oh, couldn't they do a show with these guys? Like, this would be interesting too with these two
kids.
Yeah,
they could. And that would be probably fun. They're considering it.
Yeah, maybe that it was a good ending. I was really, it really ended well. Like it, you felt like, ah, oh, that's satisfying. Good job, Grimm. You never let us down.
Cool.
Maybe a little bit, a couple times the show kind of took a bit of a dip. But you know, like when you have a show that goes for 7 seasons or whatever, I don't know how many, maybe five seasons, it's, you know, it's going to have its ups and downs, and that's life.
So, okay, so you're watching that. What else?
Was watching that. Okay. Now it's over. Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is sitting.
Same here.
Sitting on the PVR waiting for me to watch it.
Okay, stuff's happening. Last night had this moment for it. It was like, no! That was that. It was good, legit one of those. It was
yeah.
Good. Yeah.
And then the second show I'd be watching right now is Better Call Saul. Second season's on Netflix.
Also watching that, yeah.
Second season's on Netflix, and I am currently PVRing the new season. So hopefully I will catch up. But it's one of those shows, and Breaking Bad had this too, where I would get to the point where I would dread to watch it because I just felt that nothing good could happen. And I just feel like, oh, I just don't want to, like, that's just, I don't know. Like, I was thinking about this a little while ago. Like, when I was a kid, I could have easily... And when I was a young adult, you know, going to see like a movie like Reservoir Dogs, the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, I saw that movie. We saw it together. Mm-hmm. Thought it was great. A week later, I took my wife or then girlfriend, went to see it, in another theater.
Tiny theater.
Different theater. I saw The Ridge with Lisa.
Oh, okay. Big theater.
We saw it in a very small theater. Yeah, we were basically sitting.
We were sitting on each other's laps.
Yeah, we had to. That's the way it was. Actually, we were sitting on, and now we were sitting on another guy's lap as well.
By the way, now that I'm hearing that it was at The Ridge, I'm a little upset that you took me to this one instead. Well, this was, that other guy was not pleasant.
The Ridge, it may have been a bit later than that because The Ridge one would have been, was a double bill with La Femme Nikita.
Okay.
Which I didn't think much of. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah.
It's okay.
There's a lot of Nikitas out there.
There are a lot
and
of Nikitas.
TV shows.
Yeah.
So much Nikita.
But this was the original one, not the remake with Bridget Fonda.
Nikita. Yeah, it's fine.
And that was all right.
It's fine.
It was the beginning of my bad feelings about Luc Besson, which is like, raise my expectations, dash my expectations. Screw you. Anyway.
Oh, that's harsh. Harsh back then, yelling at the
Yelling at the screen. But now, if someone told me about a movie like Reservoir Dogs, I'd be kind of like, meh. I don't need to see
it. Because
you've
already had Reservoir Dogs.
I guess it's already had it, but I'm just not interested.
Why would you need Neanderthal Man anymore? If he shows up, you're not happy to see Neanderthal Man at a party. But you were happy when he was a part of the evolutionary thing, because you can't get anywhere without Neanderthal Man.
Yeah.
You know, but now that you're all upright and shit and living in a house, you don't want that guy shitting in the corner.
Don't diss Neanderthal Man. I don't think he was as bad as that.
You don't think he was pooping in the corner?
I don't think he was pooping in the corner, no. I think he...
Where was he pooping? Where was Neanderthal?
Pooped outside where it belongs.
Okay.
He was fairly civilized, you know, for a caveman.
Okay.
Or whatever they lived in.
Well, he's a modern caveman.
He's a modern caveman.
Yeah. He'd vacuum his floor with an elephant.
But you know what I mean, right? Like if the Trainspotting 2 is coming out, I probably won't see it.
Well, you haven't because it's been out for about a month.
Oh, has it?
Yeah.
So
that's how not seeing it.
That's
you
how
have.
Not seeing it.
I buy your story.
And I was really eager to see the original one, and I didn't enjoy it, as you know, if there's a story. But I don't know if I've told in the show, but I'll say it one more time. When Trainspotting came out, we had just had our first baby, so we had his little baby sleeping upstairs. And Lisa and I thought, "Hey, we're two cool adults, hip people. Let's watch. Time to watch Trainspotting and get down with all the nihilism and the cool stuff." And then we were watching it, and there's a dead baby. And we were just like so depressed by that. And we actually had to go upstairs and open the door and look in on Mary sleeping in her bed. Now that's how a baby should be.
Right.
loved and looked after.
And let me also say this to that. I've heard that story four times, not from you,
yes,
but from everyone else.
I tell
I know.
It a lot. I know I tell that story.
No, no, not from you.
No, I know.
But from other people. From every other mm-hmm. dad. Every dad goes, listen, man, I can't watch that movie. And I want to say to them, I know.
Yeah.
You're a dad.
Yeah.
It's like, no, but you don't know why. Yeah.
Oh, I,
I know this story. Yeah. I've heard it. Let me gather you all into a room, and we can all talk about how that baby on the ceiling still haunts your dreams.
Yeah. It's not the baby on the ceiling, because that just looked, that was kind of silly, but it was actually the baby like dead in the crib.
Yeah.
That's what killed me.
That, that doesn't...
That neglect.
The ceiling.
The neglect was just too much for me. Like, because you are so invested in your own baby, you know, and then you see these people that are so invested in their drugs in their veins that the baby is neglected and dies. And it's just killing to you because you're like, but that's a baby, like our baby. That's not a funny plot point. That's not...
Should it all be a funny plot point, though? Like, it feels like if it's all a funny plot point,
but the thing is,
then you're not getting the horror of what this drug
does. I agree with you, right. I agree with you there. But the movie wants its cake and eats it too, right? It wants you to laugh with those characters and have fun with them. And he shits the bed and he climbs in a toilet and they have fights and stuff like that.
If you take the baby out of that movie, does the movie work?
I think so. I think it would still work.
What's the horror point then? What's the point where you go, oh my God, doing heroin is the worst thing in the world? What gives you the impact that you need about the heroin? It's not shit in the bed because that's funny. Going to the toilet, that's funny. What's the thing that's
How about the guy who dies from his kitten?
Yeah.
That's pretty... That seems like you've opened yourself up to... You've made yourself very vulnerable to...
Yeah, but it's still...
Toxoplasmosis will kill you because you've reduced your immune system to zero.
But they know that... Okay, but people who do drugs know, hey, you know, people who smoke... No, look, this could kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, back to smoking.
Yeah, but I mean, someone who's not a drug addict can watch that movie and will not feel anything by the baby's death. And it won't disturb them the way it'll disturb a parent. That's a fact.
I think, the whole damn audience gasped at the baby scene for sure. Like, when I saw it, and I don't know how many people were parents and how many people were not parents. I mean, it was a very impactful scene.
Did people leave the theater to go?
No, they did not.
For the babysitter?
No, they left the theater to go, I got to tell this story to everyone I know. I think if you take that out, then the movie doesn't earn what it is. Because it's such a horrible thing to have four people addicted to heroin. It's like, what's the impact of heroin?
Mm-hmm.
The impact of heroin is, well, it'll kill you. Well, we fucking know that.
Yeah.
But what's the impact of it to the innocents around you?
Mm.
And what's the most innocent around you? And then that shows you that. And I understand it's so hard to watch and it's so awful. But I think without that, the movie doesn't earn what it is. And you can't have a funny heroin movie, you know, because you haven't shown the consequence.
The problem for the film, though, is when that happens...
Otherwise, you're Arthur.
But the problem with that is that when that happens in the film, Arthur, but when you...
He never gets in a drunk driving thing, as far as I know. There's no impact or consequence to...
No, no, but that movie's, you know, that movie doesn't... It's not very serious. And then the problem with Trainspotting, though, is that it so weights... the film against the characters that you can never feel anything for them again. You just don't care about them anymore.
Yeah.
And...
Which makes it weird they're doing a sequel. You're just kind of like, well, who cares about you guys?
Yeah, that's about it. Like, really. And it's just a weird, like, it's just, you know, and maybe that's how, you know, but it's just strange. Like, I don't like Ewan McGregor's character either. Like, I don't feel anything for him, like, when he leaves and he escapes to London and he, you know, he's off to a better life or whatever. You're just kind of like, well, fuck him.
Yeah.
Like, not only is he just stole money from his friends and he just fucked off, what an asshole. They're all
a
bunch of horrible people.
That's a fair point. Yeah, they're all horrible people.
You know, and so, but what I mean is, though, if I'd seen that film 3 years before we had Mary, I would have just thought, I would have reacted to that film the way I reacted to Reservoir Dogs. Ooh, this is cool. Oh,
okay,
good
well,
times.
Let's go with this then instead. So you get, so you just mentioned another show, which is Breaking Bad. Now, in both these shows and Trainspotting, you get to see what the drug's like.
Yeah.
And in Trainspotting, heroin looks great when you see how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
Same thing in Breaking Bad. When they take the crystal meth, it's floating. It's amazing. People who take it love it.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so we've showed that. How do we show the horrors of what the impact is? And of course, they went, you know, with planes crashing into each other and shit and Breaking Bad. But, you know,
well,
there,
really
was also, there was also children in danger. There was, like, other horrors.
I think the two best episodes that show you, the one is when Jesse goes to collect the money from that couple that have the bank machine in their house.
Yeah.
And then you can really see the effects of... And then there's a scene where I think it's Walt goes looking for Jesse in the crack house.
Okay.
Oh, and then there's also the prostitute character as well. Yeah. I think all those characters...
But
you know,
it's a tough one with the prostitute character because that's almost like, well, we know that, Right? Like, so the prostitute dies. And it's terrible that...
Not that she dies, just the way... Just her life. Mm. You know, there's that great kind of music montage. I shouldn't say great, but there's that very effective music montage of her getting money by performing sexual favors in order to, you know... And this feels like... It's just the kind of bringing down
takes
of
the
all...
glamour away.
Yeah,
takes
it just... You know, so however you feel about Waltz, and, you know, and the movie or the TV show, it has to be very... It's very artful in how it turns us against the protagonist. Because it's very difficult to have a villainous protagonist and have the audience...
That you set up so far, like so far in advance with like, he's got cancer. Well, now you really are feeling for the guy. He cares about his family. Mm-hmm. Well, now you really care about the guy.
Sure.
Oh, people are being jerks to him. Well, now we really care about the guy. Now we're going to lose all that.
Yeah, that's right. Little and so by little. That's very artfully done. I mean, it's hard. Like, it's sort of like...
Well, he keeps lying to himself, so you've almost got the unreliable narrator going through. And when you listen to him talking, you're like, oh, yeah, he must be right.
That's right.
Oh, he's not. Oh, why doesn't his wife just let him... No, his wife is completely right. You know, oh, I hate her for not letting him... Oh, she's correct. Though that's a good point. Yeah, no, he's the bastard.
Yeah,
I think that. So go ahead, you finish your
point. Oh, I was just gonna say it's kind of the same with Clockwork Orange, where you can't help yourself, but you sympathize with Alex, even though he's a rapist and a murderer. You know, his character is presented in this sort of almost fun way. The scene of them driving in their car, and they're, you know, or when they're fighting the other gang and stuff, it's all presented and it's all through his point of view. And so, you know, you can't help but sympathize with him when he can't defend himself, when he actually goes through the Ludovic, I think it's called, treatment. Mm-hmm. You know, you just can't help but, you know, it's just the way the film works. Because, you know, when you have a protagonist, even though they're a villain, they're your point of view to everything you're seeing. Yeah. So it's hard not to sympathize with them or empathize with them.
Even though they try their best to make him as horrific as possible.
Yes.
Make him.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons that Better Call Saul works. And I'm not spoiling anything in this. But at the core of his character is a very different thing than Walt. Whereas Walt, it's all, you know, Walt says, you know, I'm doing this for my family, but he's not doing it for his family. Mm-hmm. He's doing it for himself. He's doing it all to build up himself. And I think with Saul Goodman's character, or Jimmy McGill, it's not about himself. Like, if he won the lottery, he would still do the things that he did.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about that. He actually is trying to serve others, but in a wrong way.
Yeah.
And same thing with Mike. You know, Mike, you know, is more concerned about everyone else around himself than himself. All he does for himself is maybe get himself a beer. He won't get himself any luxury or any special thing or any special outfit or, you know, try to build himself up. It's all for another person, even though what he does is unethical as well. So you can kind of, you can fit yourself more into those characters, and their journey is more interesting than a guy who is, well, not more interesting because Breaking Bad was very good, but I find it easier to digest a Better Call Saul than a Breaking Bad.
Yeah, it seems unlikely that I'll ever want to watch Breaking Bad ever again. And even those individual episodes that I really appreciated at the time, there's not much draw to me to go back and watch them. Maybe because you kind of know what's going to happen. So if, you know, the fantastic fight of Hank versus the two assassins in the parking lot, you know what eventually happens to Hank. So, you know, whatever happens there is just sort of erased by, you know what I mean? Like, so
it's and it's so opera. It's so heading for the tragedy, and you know it is, that you're like, okay, we're going to go there. But it's weird with Saul Goodman almost. I could almost see in that universe, you could cross it over with an episode of The Rockford Files real easy.
Yeah.
You could see like Jim Rockford knowing Mike and needing him for something and them talking and they met in prison or something. Yeah. Or you could see him almost like, you know.
Well, that actor was in an episode of The Rockford Files.
Oh, neat. Yeah. Or like, you know, Jimmy and Angel, you could see, you know, that they're not a million miles, you know, there's something there, except Angel is more selfish, you know. You can see sort of that world. But they're also all very smart, and so it's, and so that that makes it interesting. Yeah. That's a show that I'm for sure watching all the time. Yeah, I'll watch like a Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. watch myself a Better Call Saul, Legion, until it was over. But that was probably close to my favorite show when that was on.
Yep.
And now as a bit of a, and I'll watch like a Seth Meyers in the evening. But now as a bit of a surprise to me, the new Anna Green Gables show, I'm hooked on like nobody's business. I was again it. I was like, why are we watching another Anna Green Gables?
Yeah, we already have Megan. We don't need another. We don't need a new Anne.
And in fact, we fucking do. It's by far the best of the bunch. And
is it accurate to the books, or do you like it because it's an updated version of it that suits your political views better than the old ones?
Political views.
You know what I mean, though, right? Because it's going to be, it's going to have a modern twist to it that is more pleasing to us than reading.
It's not a modern twist.
Yeah.
It's just more, it's basically like this. It's like, okay, so take anything from.
But this is what I'm curious about, what you're going to say. Okay, is this.
All right, so it's like, all right, so it takes Anne of Green Gables. Yep. So you take the thing from the book.
Yep.
And now it's like, now let's pull the camera back a bit and see why.
That's a modern twist, though.
Why is revealing more a modern twist?
Because the book doesn't have that in it. So by so you're not adapting the book. You are making the book. You're making the book anew for a different.
So say you like
outlook on the world.
Say you like Batman comics in the 70s.
Yeah,
I like Batman. What's he do? He fights crime, and he was upset that his parents were killed a little bit. But mostly, he just goes out and he fights crime.
Sure.
Fantastic. Here's the Dark Knight, and like let's pull back and let's see why he's doing what.
That's
he's doing.
That's a different take on it for a different audience, right?
So it's the same character though. Doing the same thing.
It's the same character.
He's still going out at night and he's fighting crime, and he's still doing the same things.
Sure.
You just get a little bit more of like why he is.
Yeah.
And yeah, to me, it just makes it fucking
like
work.
If you read Anne of Green Gables,
which I've done, and I've read the play.
It's not going to have.
I've seen the play, and I've seen the Megan, and I've seen the Japanese version, and I've seen another version. And I can't remember what version that is. And I've seen Anne Gross Goes to War. And I've seen a lot of Anne Gross Goes to War. Okay, go ahead.
But you know that they don't really talk about the kind of negative element of orphans at that time, that they were used as servants.
Mm-hmm.
They're brought into farms and stuff like that and used as farmhands.
Well, they do in that, you know, when the first thing that happens when Anne of Green Gables shows up is, we wanted a boy. Why'd you want a boy? You wanted a boy because a boy can work at the farm.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The thing about boys being servants, that's why they brought a girl, a boy in. Yeah. They just happened to get a girl. So that's already in the books. That's kind of like
starting
point.
The thing is that sons also worked on farms. So it didn't, if you were an adopted son, it didn't mean that you weren't a member of the family or that you weren't. Mm-hmm. But the fact was is that people were adopted or fostered and brought into the situation and were not treated like family. They were treated like servants. They had to live in the barn. They had to live in somewhere that wasn't part of the family. They were treated very poorly.
But the brother and sister, they wanted someone to work. That's why they brought it. It wasn't we're lonely. It was we want someone to work on the farm because we're getting old. That's always the case.
Sure. Okay. Sure.
So I don't think there's anything then when you go like, okay, so they got a girl. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we don't want a girl.
Yeah.
And now she's very disappointed. But they actually play it almost more they play it more realistic. Like, oh, this was her only option.
Sure.
So she's super sad.
Yeah.
Like to me, that's not taking away from the original story. That's just let's
see. I agree. It's widening it out, but it's also changing what the story. How the story originally was. Is this making it different for us?
I don't know if it changes the core. It just gives you a little, like, if you take what the story is and then you reveal some background to it.
Well, just wait till she kills Gilbert with an axe. Then you'll know it's completely different.
He's a pretty good guy, that Gilbert. when you reveal why she's so verbose, reveal why she doesn't want to go back.
Yeah.
It's like, that justifies it in comparison to, you know, to what the
original book was. This is better than the book, everyone, what we're saying.
Yeah.
Lucy Maud Montgomery,
I'll say it takes what the book is and it adds elements to it that make it even more true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's
to
nothing.
To your viewpoint.
No. There's nothing in the book, I think, that gets altered significantly. No one's motivation, no one's character gets altered. You just justify it a little bit more. You know, it's just like, well, why does he feel that way? You know, it's like if somewhere in the book, you know, the guy gets startled by an owl and then, you know, oh, an owl. And then like, you know, you have a scene like in the TV show, because a TV show has to be different than a book.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different medium. We got to play with different things.
Okay.
And then you have a flashback scene to him as a kid and an owl flies into his room. You're like, fuck, an owl. And it's like, okay, that doesn't take away what was in the book about him, being scared of owls. You just get a little bit more of like, why is he scared of owls? And like with her, you get like, well, why is she verbose? Well, because she was in situations in the past where she had to be liked, and if she wasn't liked, she would get kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
And if she gets kicked out, she's back to the orphanage, and orphanage fucking sucks. And like, what were orphanages like back then? They were like this.
Yeah.
So it's just adding things that were truthful of the era to the story without altering the story. It's just giving you a little bit of a different perspective. But you can just take it as it's a surface thing. And by the way, we've got 97 other Anne of Green Gables out there. If you're just going to retread it and do it again, why are you doing it? What's the point?
That's true. There's already the books and there's already the...
I'm not saying it's different than...
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's interesting to me how... it's just they've changed it. They've modernized it. They made it different. They made it for us.
Well, doesn't
everyone, for our generation.
Doesn't every generation
for
make it
a
for,
generation?
I mean,
not our generation.
The Japanese manga one.
They don't care about
not
us.
Manga anime one. You know, they made it for who they made it for. Mm-hmm. But you keep the core elements to it, and then you play around with it. You know, with those things. The musical doesn't do everything that's in the books, but you know, it's
actually
a pretty accurate rendition of what.
It occurs to me now that it's actually not aimed at you.
You're
just a wannabe hipster trying to jump onto this Anne of Green Gables train. But it's not for you. It's not your demographic.
There is nothing hipster about Anne.
Get out
of it.
You should be watching Mama's Family on MeTV and just accept who you are.
That's right.
Quit trying to be hip.
What the heck is that Tyler Perry thing? Is it Madea? I want to see Madea, but I want her to be an older white woman. Okay, we got Mama's Family. Now we're on it. Now we're all over it.
Well, he's just taken Mama's Family and he's just widened the scope. Mm-hmm. That's all he's done. He's just widened the. Why is she the way she is? He's widened the scope.
Now here's.
I've never seen the movie.
Exactly.
Let me pretend that I have. I might put moving my hands apart. Widen the scope.
Let me look at it this way. All right. So
you look at it that way.
I'm going to go back to Batman here for a second. Batman the comic. What's the deal?
Go back to Superman.
Batman fights crime. We want to do Superman.
Yeah,
we can do that. Superman sounds great. Let's do Superman. Superman. He fights Lex Luthor. He can go through time. He's got all this stuff. He's from another planet. Bob.
Yeah.
That's the elements we see in the comic. Lovely.
Yeah.
Christopher Reeve Superman movie. What's the deal? He comes to Earth. All the stuff. There's Jor-El, Lex Luthor. He's a bad guy. Bad wants to hurt the world. Fantastic. That's what Superman is. So it works for the basic concept of Superman.
Yep.
Man of Steel. Superman. He comes to Earth. He doesn't do anything. Bums around till he's in his 30s.
Yeah.
Really doesn't do anything. Doesn't try to help anybody. Well, helps some people if he's around, but wants to shut up about it. Doesn't save his dad when he can.
Yeah.
Kills a guy at the end.
They just widen the scope.
Superman. Wait, there's another movie. Wait, there's another one. Okay, great. So what happens? He's going, I'm never going to kill again because it bugged me so much when I killed. Okay, wait a second. So here's a clone of the one you killed. I'm going to kill him again, and I'm a boob, and I get myself killed. Okay, that's Superman. No. So see, that's the dumb way to do it to me. Whereas this, you know, you keep the elements, but then you add to, and that's fair.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. I am.
It seriously is. Next to Breaking Bad, I would say it's probably my favorite show right now. Not Breaking Bad, but Better Call Saul.
Yeah. Is it on Netflix? Is that what the...
It will be, I believe, after the CBC run is over. And what they've done in the American posters for Anne is they've made her prettier.
Oh, because she's not very pretty in the posters.
That's the thing. So they've gotten rid of some of those freckles. They've straightened her teeth. They've fixed her skin a bit. Because Americans apparently can't take a normal looking girl. So no dice. You got the CBC poster for her and then they altered it all for the Netflix one. And there's a little bit of people complaining about that online. And you know what? Fair enough. That's a dumb thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems a little mean to the actress.
I will agree with that as well. She is an amazing actress in this thing. Holy shit. Whether you like whatever or whatever, you have your own. She's acting the fuck out of this thing. So good on her. If she doesn't get whatever the Canadian award for Canadian awards is, then everything's stupid in the world. Yeah.
I'll have to wait. It's on Netflix, you said, right?
No, because the initial run isn't over. I think next week is the initial run's end on CBC.
Okay,
and CBC. Then it comes on Netflix.
That's fine. I can watch it on demand.
Yep.
That's cool. I'm going to give it a watch. I'm going to give it a watch. I'm going to make a point of
drag a daughter or two in front of the TV. And eat something from the era. Get a piece of peach pie, perhaps, or something.
Okay, I'll have to watch it on Sunday. You're saying,
or eat a potato.
Eat a potato. Because
it's Prince Edward Island, so get something potato-based.
Fries?
Yeah, eat some fries and watch some Anne of Green Gables.
I will do that. I will have some fries and lobster and watch Anne of Green Gables.
By the way, another thing that's coming on Netflix is Mystery Science Theater 3000. And I'm not going to say the name of the friend of mine, but I can say this much so far because this is going to air this, or this, what we're doing right now is coming out on Saturday, and they'll be able to reveal it Friday, that a former guest of the show, I'll say that much, is writing an episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, fantastic.
The new version.
Cool.
Yeah, and it has had to keep it hush-hush through this whole time, keep it mum.
Yeah.
And it's driving them nuts that they've had to do that. In fact, two guests that we've had on our show are the two writers for an episode.
Oh,
so we can tell you more about that next week.
That sounds great.
Hopefully it'll be a good show. From what I've heard,
hopefully,
it's pretty good.
Hopefully it will. Once again, they've widened the scope.
I do not think they've widened it at all.
They've widened the scope.
Not at all.
They've made it more.
The scope is exactly the same.
Made it more. It's more modern now.
Well, because it's now. Yeah that'd be weird if it wasn't.
More modern.
Yeah, they're all wearing spats.
Widen the scope.
They're using a lot of racial slurs that are inappropriate.
That's what more modern means. We widen the scope.
Yeah.
The more modern microscopes, widen.
Well, this
wider.
Episode of our show, compared to our first episode many years ago,
yeah.
I mean, then it was all ethnic jokes we were doing.
We were just all over them.
Yeah.
A terrible
of course it did.
A terrible joke.
That's the first thing that came to your head. And then you would have said it back then, and you didn't now.
True.
You know why?
No,
because we're narrowing the scope.
We're narrowing
it tight to a pinprick. Just a pinprick. We're going to be able to look through it and see an eclipse and not hurt our eyes.
Yeah, we have to do that.
Yeah. Speaking of things I watched, I made a promise to our listeners many weeks ago.
I don't remember this promise now.
This was a promise made, is a promise kept, is what I say.
Is that what you said? This is the first time that I've ever heard you do this.
No, but I did say I was going to do something and I didn't do it.
Okay.
Which was, I said, hey, let's both watch that Seth documentary.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then old Boob McGee loses the DVD, can't find it. And
yeah, yeah.
So enough of that. Well, who's cleaning the
house? Wait, so who is Boobs McGee?
Huh?
Who's Boobs McGee?
He's the guy there with the nice tits. See, that's kind of joke we would have done in our first season.
Yeah.
We can't do that now.
Because
you can't say that.
Yeah.
What's wrong with us?
We narrow the scope.
Anyway, McGee, put your shirt on and get the heck out of here. You don't have to. It's Canada. You can go topless. Bye, Boobs McGee. So I found it. I put it on. I watched the documentary.
Okay.
It's by Luke
Chamberlain. Basically Chamberlain.
Chamberlain. Sure.
Luke Chamberlain. Okay. Let's anglicize it.
Right.
The Quebecois love when you do that.
Chamberlain. Actually, you know what? When you're watching Anna Green Gables, get a nice plate of potato Chamberlain.
Chamberlain?
Yeah. Okay. Get a little plate of that.
Okay. I'll find out what it is.
You know what it is? Oh, it's cheese and then cigarette ash. Oh. Then a little bit of Pepsi on top.
Sounds great.
Right. So why I'm also bringing this up.
Bring Boobs back.
Nope. Boobs is out. Oh, Boobs is making a lot of friends. So stop looking at the imaginary character out there.
He's making a lot of friends with the girls at the ballet across the street, the little kids.
Yeah.
Get away, Boobs. Get away from them.
Oh, he's waving at you, not using his hands. So we can talk about that. But also, but that's now boring.
Me?
It's boring.
Oh, is it boring?
But here's why it's boring.
Okay.
Because I'm going to be talking about, I watched a movie with this guy in it. And you're going to say to me, oh, Ian.
Hey, can I one-up you?
Yeah. Why don't you one-up me right now?
I'll one-up you because I actually ran into him.
With
my car. Let's narrow that down.
Do you know who doesn't need airbags? Boobs McGee.
he's further away now. I can't yell at him. He's by that vegetarian restaurant. Anyway. Yeah, I did. Well, it's funny. Lisa and I'll tell you two stories.
Start with a better one.
I'm going to tell you what I saw.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you what I felt.
Okay.
It's very important. No.
This is not the Boobs McGee story.
This is not the Boobs McGee story. Because he doesn't like that.
Oh, man.
I learned that the hard way.
I do not look forward to seeing the title card for this week's show.
So, yes, we went to... I don't know if I'll give you the convoluted story. Anyway, we drove to Richmond.
Have you heard our show before? You're going to give me the convoluted story.
I'm
going to
give you the convoluted story.
All right, anyway,
we drove to Richmond. We drove to Richmond. We had to drop Eve off in Vancouver. She was meeting up with a friend. So we dropped off in downtown, and we drove from there to Richmond.
Okay.
And we're driving along, and I see a couple walking down the street. A couple, I would call them a vintage couple, with their long coats, the high heel shoes on the lady. The man in his dress shoes with his hat, and they're both carrying umbrellas because it was raining out, looked very, very, very
old-timey umbrellas.
Tiny. Yeah, very old-timey. And I said, that was Seth and his wife. I'm going to bet a buffalo head nickel on that. And Lisa took me up on it, and now she owes me $5,000 because those were very valuable nickels. Yes, because when we got to the place and we parked and walked around, and
here's
the even weirder thing.
Oh, you got to tell me what the place
here's
is.
Here's the weirder thing.
It sounds like right now you're just going,
I went to Richmond.
I saw two people.
Yeah, I saw two people.
You got to get details, man.
Okay, let me get more detailed. So we were going to go see, what's happened is that Seth wrote a book.
He was a cartoonist.
Seth, this cartoonist, we've talked about a couple times. Canadian cartoonist.
Someone's first show.
Canadian cartoonist Seth, he wrote a book called George Sprott, 18 to 1975. And it's about a kind of a character that we no longer see anymore in this world of ours, and it's a little bit sad, the regional television personality. It's kind of gone the way of the dodo. But in its day, and this was an actual reference to a real person that was sort of a Detroit TV personality, a man named Charles Perrault, I believe,
okay,
who was an old man by this time, a jolly, fat old man who had adventures, had gone on, you know, explorations and had been here and there, and he had slides to prove it, and he had a half-hour TV show on a Detroit radio or TV station that he would just show his slides and discuss his travels, to which Seth described it as the most boring thing I'd ever seen as a kid. It was so boring. And he was quite an old man. He would sometimes fall asleep while on the show.
Okay.
So, I mean,
and
this...
That kind of thing has now been replaced by podcasts.
I think so. Yeah, you're right. It was basically our slides we're giving you. So this is, you know, I'm painting you slides with my dulcet tones. So, Seth did this book a few years ago. It was a serialized comic that he did in The New Yorker. And so... it was published as a book, and then a man named Mark Haney, who's a musician, a composer, wanted to take this. He actually wanted to do it with Clyde Fanz first, but he couldn't really, because Seth book, but it's not finished, so he didn't really have like a place to grab.
If you're interested in Clyde Fanz, it appears in a book called Palookaville.
Yes, yeah, and as the first book is a standalone graphic novel, and book two is coming out, I think, in June or July, because Seth has finished.
And it's been, and this story has taken how long to?
20 years. Which he admitted should have been a two-year work. It took him 20 years to
finish
it.
But he didn't understand metric.
He didn't understand
and
metric.
Multiplying by tens. Well, and it became 20 years.
Things get in the way. To be fair, he's published three different books in the meantime, including George Sprott. But so Mark Haney, you know, came to Seth and asked if he'd be okay if he adapted George Sprott. And Seth said, sure, you know, do what you want. Or, you know, keep me in the loop, obviously, and we'll just decide if it's worth doing. And so Mark Haney, he took the story, he kind of condensed it, and he composed a score for it. And it's sort of partly spoken, partly sung, kind of an oratorio, I guess would be a good word for it. And so this is what was being done. So it was at the Richmond Art Gallery, which was amazing because Richmond Art Gallery actually paid for the whole thing. So it was free to see. You didn't have to pay any money to see. It was great. So it was like this sort of installation. So Seth designed, because what Seth... Gee, you have to step back a little bit. So George Sprott takes place at an...
Widen the focus.
I'm going to widen it out. George Sprott takes place in an imaginary Ontario town called Dominion. And Seth became so fascinated with this idea of Dominion that he actually started to create cardboard buildings. And he started building his own Dominion. You know, the movie theater and the bowling alley and this and that. And they're all... He's been building them for years and years out of packing boxes that he would get in the mail.
Mostly FedEx, yeah.
Yeah, FedEx boxes and whatnot. And so... He has, and so there was a model of the CKCK, I think it's called CKCK, the television station that George Sprott worked at. They did have that building there. But what Seth did was build a large scale television studio out of cardboard or designed it. I mean, it had been built by other people, but he designed this big television studio with a big giant old fashioned TV camera and a big microphone and a big honking old phone on the desk. And just kind of, so just this really great set that he made. And then, that was kind of his part of it, besides writing it and creating it originally. The rest of it was Mark Haney's work. But Seth came for one night only to the grand opening. Does this sound right? Is that what you call it? Premiere. The premiere of this performance piece. And so they did it. There was an older gentleman playing George Sprott. And then there was another gentleman who did all the other male voices. And then there were two women, one who played his niece and the other played his estranged daughter. And so it was a mix of spoken parts and singing at the same time. So they would sometimes they'd speak, other times they would sing their pieces. And then Mark Haney plays the double bass. So he plays the big old bass kind of thing. So sometimes he played it with his hands, sometimes he bowed it. And then there was a woman cellist. And then there was a man who played the bass flute, which I've never seen before.
What's a bass flute?
It's just a big old flute that has curves on the end. And it kind of actually can sound sometimes like a trumpet when it's being played.
Neat.
It was a very different sound. And so those were the three instruments. And then the piece was performed. And it was very good. So that's the main part of it. So there was a question and answer period. I asked a question because, you know, it's one of those things where people, are there any questions?
Yeah.
You know, so then someone was like, oh, what did you... So you know, there kind of a big gap happened. So I was like, oh, maybe let's ask a question just to
interrupt really quick and just go, that's terrible at the end of things when people go, any questions?
This was before it started. There was a question and answer period before the thing.
Oh, is that right?
Which I thought was kind of weird because you'd want to have it after.
See it in the thing.
Yeah, and then ask some questions.
Even after, it's very rare that I've seen question and answer things where it's not for the very first.
Yeah.
One person answers a question, then you're fine.
You need a ringer.
You need a ringer. Or what I always do is if I'm doing it with comics or something, I'll go like, there's a free comic for the first three questions.
Okay.
And so people do it just to get a free thing.
Yeah.
And then the ball is rolling and everything's fine. But it's very difficult to break that audience presenter barrier. There's just something that makes us go, no. It feels like it's school and just like, anyone got any questions? Mm-hmm. And you feel like if you say anything, you're the jerk who's asking for more homework. You know, just like, so I don't want to say nothing. So you got to really lead them on or do something.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry. Yeah. So you stuck your hand up and went,
yeah.
Yes, Mr. Seth.
I said, Mr. Seth, Mr. Seth.
Mr. Could, Seth, Vancouver Gazette.
Could you please tell us your relationship with Boobs McGee? I asked him, because I actually was listening to him and another cartoonist, Noah Van Sciver, on a podcast, on a very good comics podcast called Ink Studs. And so he was talking about Clyde Fanz on that and mentioning he had finished it. And he said that it had taken him 20 years. And he said that he was proud that it had taken them that long to finish it. He was proud of it. And so, but during his question and answer at the thing, he said, he then said, you know, it was a 2-year project. It should have taken me 2 years. It took me 20 years, which sounded a little kind of embarrassed about it.
Yeah.
So I asked him, I said, earlier you said that, you know, your 2-year project took 20 years and you sound a little embarrassed. But when I heard you on this podcast recently, you seemed sort of proud that it had taken you 20 years. And I was just wondering if you could explain your feelings about it.
And everyone in the audience went, boo to you. Like, why are you calling him out? Why are you calling him out? Leave him alone.
No, because this Boobs McGee walked in. They're actually disturbing to see.
Boobs.
Boobs McGee. And he said, after he greeted Boobs, he said, he just said, well, it wasn't that he was proud that it took him so long to do it, but that what he was proud of is that no one else has ever taken that long to finish a project like that.
Mm.
And that's sort of a thing. But also the fact that he stuck to it over the time, that he never went, oh, God, this thing. Like, just forget it. You know, I'll just do something else. Right. No, he went
so
right to the
doing
end.
So he is slamming his friend Chester Brown's underwater comic. So
yes,
saying,
that's right. It's taken still. We're still waiting 30 years later for that one to finish. No. I mean, you know, and he admits there's some problems with it, like that the fact that the art changes over the 20 years. Mm. So it's going to be different at the beginning of it to the end of it. And he was even saying he's thought of redrawing some of the pages.
But he said,
he said, no, there's no point. No. And I think that's sort of charming when the art changes over time. I think that's sort of interesting. So why not? Well, it doesn't really matter. No one cares. No one cares. But it was an interesting piece, and it was so. Now the fun part of it was, well, I got to meet Seth outdoors because I was talking with a former friend of the show, Colin Upton, was there as well, and we were talking, and then Seth walked up, and he knows Colin, so then he and Colin were talking, and I got to introduce myself, and met his wife as well. It was very nice, and then they had to go in, but the interesting thing when we parked. We parked at the exact same time that the composer is parking. So he went in with his partner. They went into the as well. And so, it was sort of I met everyone. I didn't get to meet them, but I parked near them. Mm-hmm. But what was sort of funny was Lisa, my wife, my darling wife, Lisa, she was expecting maybe a half hour of just, you know, we'd go in, walk around a little bit, look at some stuff, then we'd leave. So she hadn't eaten.
But she didn't know there was a presentation.
I guess not.
She didn't read the poster.
I think not.
That might be on her.
That was
because that poster was right there and it said there was a thing. But
so,
okay, all right.
We were there for a while because we got there around 5:30.
Okay. By the way, there should be snacks at this kind of thing.
Opened at 6.
Mm-hmm.
Opened at 6. Is that what I said? There's supposed to be a question and answer period, which was supposed to start at 6. It didn't quite start at 6. Maybe 10 after 6.
So there's a question period before the presentation. Confusing.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the time
when's it going to start?
By the time the question and answer period was done, Lisa was so hangry. It was unbelievable. It was pretty cute, actually.
Mm-hmm.
She was just so mad because she was so hungry. And we hadn't had anything to eat before it started. And she didn't know it was going to be so long. And grrr. So, yeah, I went and went. I was almost tempted. There were some potato chips on display. And I was tempted to steal them from the closed cafe that was part of this. Because the art gallery is also joined up with the library. They're the same building.
So wait, and then they have a little foyer exhibition with potato chips in it. And you were going to steal the art?
No. There was like a little cafeteria.
Oh, okay.
And they said for display only. So I was worried that maybe they were 100 years old And if she ate them, that they would not be good for her.
Yeah, that would be a bad idea.
Yeah, so I didn't steal them. Good. I was very tempted. I stood with my back to them, and I was going to like reach around behind my back to grab a bag. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that. We'll wait. But I did get her some water, some San Pellegrino. They were very nicely giving away at the thing. So, and then when it was over, they had a little do, and they had appetizers of that. So we scarfed down some appetizers, some weird appetizers. Mm-hmm. And then we went.
What would count as a weird appetizer?
A weird appetizer would be a toothpick with a grape grape on the bottom.
Okay.
Pearl onion.
Nope.
Artichoke heart.
Mm-hmm.
Block of cheese.
Yeah.
Pepperoni stick. Very small, little, kind of like a little 1 centimeter piece of pepperoni stick.
What era would you say that's from? That's a good idea.
I do not know. Now?
Yeah. No, because when you're talking pearl onion,
yeah,
that's not any time of the last
30
years.
I loved her on Hee Haw.
Wow. Well, you're true. It was a mini pearl onion. You're absolutely right.
You said we were old.
And they had a little price tag on it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, the thing is, here's the mistake you shouldn't make when you get this.
Pearl onion. That's a
no,
mistake.
No, no, no. It's fine. I like pearl onions. But
no, you don't.
I do.
No, you don't. When do you eat a pearl onion?
Well, when I'm offered one, I'll eat it.
Yeah,
like them.
That's not liking a pearl onion. Do you have any in your house?
Yes, I do.
For what? For what?
They're great. Like when you have a dinner with the guests.
Uh-huh.
You have your pearl onions and your mustard pickles.
Wait.
Yes.
Okay, wait. Show me how you serve a pearl onion with what?
Well, you put it in a little, you have a little dish.
Of pearl onions.
Yeah.
And you dip like a toothpick in and you pop an onion in your mouth.
Yeah, you use your fork or whatever, or just dish it on.
Micro onion in your mouth.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you do that?
Okay, what are you serving that with?
Because they're good.
What are you serving that with?
Whatever, like ham, roast beef, whatever.
No, that's a bunch of lies. Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to go home and take a picture.
I've never called you a liar before in the show, sir, but I have to.
I'm going to go home and take a picture
of pearl onions, my ass.
You don't like them?
Not I don't like them. They just don't exist now, really.
Yes,
they're
they
there
do.
On the shelf.
They're there on
no
the shelf.
No one eats them.
Yes, people do
it's
eat
not
them.
Not real.
Yes, they do. Why
no,
would you
nonsense.
Like them? That is having.
Look,
a...
I'm throwing this out to our listeners.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
If you have a ham dinner, don't you like to have pearl onions with your ham dinner?
No. No.
Really?
No one does. No. Okay. I'm throwing this out there.
I do.
Hi, everybody. How's it going?
I grew up at a time when people had.
Here's
pearl
what
onions.
I would like to know from us.
Do you don't have mustard pickles
what
either?
What I would like to know from. Not since my grandfather died. what I would like to know anyone out there at any dinner party you've been at,
yeah.
I'm talking to you guys, in the last 20 years,
okay.
And I know some
Thank
of you.
You
are going,
Thank you for
some of you are saying,
yeah.
But I'm not 20 years old yet. Fine. For you, your whole life.
Yeah.
Has there been
yeah.
a bowl of pearl onions?
Why don't
there.
You believe that?
Is never... there a bowl of pearl onions okay. at that party? Oh, and also,
yeah.
let me qualify.
Yeah.
For yourself, have you ever bought a jar of pearl onions?
Why would you buy
them? Or have you pearled your own onions?
Well, my mom did.
Of course your mom did.
Yeah. That's why I like
We're
them.
In another era now.
My grandma did too. And she made mustard pickles as well. They were
right.
really quite good.
Right. Well, they were like fighting World War II. So they had nothing else to eat. just asking. Am I out of line here with this whole pearl onion situation?
Okay. So everyone out there, and there's many of us, I'm sure, who like mustard,
like
mustard pickles.
Hey, do you really enjoy those Jello molds with
no, those
tuna,
are awful.
Tuna fish in them?
That's terrible.
And a couple of pearl onions thrown in?
That is not what
That is the era we're talking about where you have a
okay.
bowl of pearl onions as well.
When you buy your mustard pickles...
Oh,
everyone knows.
So when I buy my mustard pickles, because
yeah.
it's 1982,
because when you buy
and
them,
I'm buying them for my grandfather.
You know that the best part is the one or two pearl onions.
Because it's mustard pickles.
It.
Yeah, that's right. The best part of that. Because
that's a good part of it. I don't understand why you don't.
And the best part of that prison was the Birdman of Alcatraz, but you wouldn't want him around.
I'm going to go home and take a picture of these things in my fridge, because that's where they are right now.
Yeah, where they'll stay, because you're never going to take them out.
No, they're good for like when you have ham.
You know what? At some point, you're going to move out of that house, and
yep.
another family's going to move in.
Mm-hmm.
Then that family's going to move out.
Yeah.
Another family's going to move in.
Yeah.
And that pearl onion is going to still be in the fridge.
It's possible. Maybe
yeah.
they won't like it as much as I do.
You're going to be electing the first gaseous
yeah.
prime minister of Canada, just a
yeah.
sentient gas, and then pearl onions will still be there.
Okay,
and then someone will go, I need that jar for a butterfly. They're going to dump the onions out. It will burn through the bag, and they'll put a butterfly in that jar.
I'm going to admit that...
All this has been a lie.
No, it's not that it's been a lie. That I don't open the fridge up and take out the jar of pearl onions and then eat them out of the jar. Like, I don't do that.
No, of course not.
But I do enjoy them, like, when they're appropriate, which is with, like, a ham dinner.
Okay.
I think it's great. I don't understand why you don't.
Okay. It looks right now like you're doing a Senior Wenches and you're making a little puppet on your,
your
hand right now.
I'm going to argue. No, it's so good. Ian. I can't even do it. What is it with his voice? Oh, Johnny.
It's
Senor,
that's okay. Yeah, that's fine. I want a kiss. Give me a kiss.
Give me a kiss.
So I watched the. So was it pleasant to meet Seth and his.
He was very nice.
Okay.
She's very quiet.
And is his wife or his girlfriend?
Wife. They're married.
Very good.
She's very statuesque.
That's what it seemed like from the documentary. So I watched the documentary, which is a nice series of little animated bits based on his work.
That Luc Chamberlain is a animator.
And the thrust of all of them is life is kind of beautiful and sad, and it's wistful and Canada and walking through the snow.
That's his thing.
And that's the thing. And that's if you like that kind of thing, then that's the thing that you like. And it's there and it's fine.
Yeah.
But he had a thing there that I don't know why, but it really like made me go, huh, like really terrifying to me, which was.
Oh, I know what it was.
His work schedule.
Oh.
What did you think it was?
I thought it was that puppet show that he did.
Oh, the puppet show's creepy. Yeah, that's right. Basically, I think like after Seth passes, all those things are going to come to life and start killing people. For sure. It's going to be, it's going to go from wistful to the creepiest thing in the world, like trying to walk through that basement with all the masks and being terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, he breaks down, and I'm always kind of interested like what people's work schedules are. And he goes like, I always get up early, get up, you know, for like 8 o'clock, and I'm like drinking a cup of coffee, and I go down immediately to work, and I work till noon, and I have lunch, and then I read a book, and then I'm back to work after lunch, and I'm back down there, and I'm working the whole time, and you work until like 5, and then for lunch he has a glass of wine, and then like then he's working till 5, and his wife shows up and he makes dinner and they have more wine, and then he's back to work and works till like
1 in the morning,
midnight,
and
then he goes upstairs and has some more wine with his wife, and they talk, and then they go to sleep at 1:30, and then it's back to waking up, you know, for 8 o'clock. And, you know, in that time, he's also making phone calls and he's checking emails. But it's all that time is spent in the basement for the most part, with the exception of lunch, time eating dinner, and then time with his wife from like midnight to 1:30. And that just made me go, like, first, because I could see myself falling into that, like, easily. There's something really addictive and pleasing about the, and you're just in the basement, and you're just with your art. And when you're not doing art for, because he broke it down to, like, there's art that he does for commercial purposes.
Yeah.
And then he's art where he's finishing his books.
Yeah.
And then there's art that he just does for himself and his journals, and no one will see this, probably.
Yeah.
And it's all that. And that just seems so addictive to me. Like, the idea of, like, I'm just going to sit and draw and write, and I'm just going to go, and I'm going to be in this office for this amount of time, and I'll just show up for food and watch a movie, and then that's it. And just like, it just like scares me so much, because I could just see myself falling into that. And it's like, yeah, but what about life and stuff? What about going and doing things? What about being out? You know,
But if you read his comics, he doesn't do very much. I mean, most of his time outside is spent just sort of walking around in fields and down train tracks.
I'm thinking it's not like it used to be.
Yeah.
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 It's
very odd.
Again, like we've talked about this before, where we don't want to like throw judgment on people. So I can just talk about it in comparison to how I'd feel about it in my life. I can see that being so addictive.
Yeah.
To be in so in your own head and just throw yourself completely into your craft and your art, and it would just be, it just feels like so dangerous to me, you know, to be that. Like, it's good to have a good work ethic, but you got to get out of the house every so often. If you live your whole life in the basement, my Lord, it just feels so mouse-like.
Yeah.
You know? But he does beautiful work. Can't argue with that.
He does do beautiful work. What's interesting also then is listening to that podcast. They're talking on there, and he mentioned that I spend 99% of my time in the basement. Like, that's maybe 99% of the time when I'm home in the basement. And what he said, though, I think he had a misunderstanding of the idea of what an introvert is. Because he said in there, he says, I don't think of myself as an introvert because I like talking to people. And I like meeting people, and I like to talk and stuff like that. It's just that when I'm at home, I spend all my time in the basement. And I thought, well, you're an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, maybe he doesn't understand. Like, what makes you an introvert and extrovert isn't shyness or isn't your unwillingness to talk to people. There's lots of people who are introverts or extroverts who actually are shy and have trouble talking to people. What makes you an extrovert and what makes you an introvert are how you recharge yourself, recharge your own spirit. Yeah. Extroverts get a charge from talking to people and meeting people, and that's what gives them that gives their life its juice. Introverts enjoy meeting people. They have no problem. They can be actors. They can be statesmen. They can be whatever. But they need their alone time where they go away and sit in their basement for 90% of the time and do whatever they do. Mm. Or go into a study, or just sit and watch television, or read a book.
Just be in your own head for a while.
Just be in your own head for a while. Go for a walk. Those are things you need to do as an introvert. And that doesn't make you shy. Excuse me, it doesn't make you shy. It makes you an introvert. You know, you're just, because you need time where people aren't talking to you, because it just drains your own battery. And you, when you recharge your battery, you need to be by yourself. That's what recharges it. And I don't, maybe he didn't understand that, because then he's like, I think of myself as an, I don't think of myself as an introvert, because then he describes, you know, like liking to meet people. Then he says, well, but I like to spend all my time in the basement. Well, that's because you're recharging. That's why you like that. That's why you are a cartoonist, because when you were a kid, you would go outside and play with kids just the same way I did. I went outside and played with kids all the time. I loved to play outside. I loved it so much, I practically burned myself to death with sunburns, because I just would not go in the house because I liked playing outside. But the time came when I was a kid where I needed to go into my bedroom and lay on my bed and read an entire Hardy Boys book in one sitting, or watch television by myself.
Or and those were my sketch pad out.
Or take out a sketch pad and sit and draw, or read a book. Those are my things that I love to do when I wasn't with, because I just needed to be away from people for a little while. And that was how, you know, that's how it is. That's why you like to draw.
This ties into something I'd like to bring up in just a second. So let me just write this down about recharge. But there was once, there was also another scene that was in there that made me kind of go, oh, and just like made me clasp my chest a little bit.
Oh, really?
And it was this. It was like where he's in the, and he draws it while like telling it. He's like talking about being in the basement and he's drawing and he hears his wife upstairs laughing. Mm. She's laughing at something. And he goes,
yeah.
Oh, it just makes me happy. It reminds me of my mom one night. I used to hear my mom laugh. And it's like, oh, that's so nice. And then just goes back to his drawing. And to me, as a married fella, I'd be like, oh, my wife's laughing at something.
Yeah.
I want to go see what she's laughing about. Let's go see. Because we could share, this is a moment we could go share something. And then I can always go back and back to my, unless I'm really into something.
Yeah.
You know, I want to know what's the deal? Yeah. What are you laughing at? What's going on? Because she's enjoying herself and this could be a moment we'll share. But him, it's like, doesn't even enter into it. It's just like, well, she's having a good time up there. Back to my work.
But do you think it's kind of creepy though? Not so heart clasping that.
No, heart clasping is in. Oh no, you're missing out on this. Okay. You're missing out on this.
I see. Because what's weird about it is that he hears his wife laughing. And goes, it reminds me of my mom. Like, this is a weird thing. That's your relationship with your wife, is that she's like your surrogate mom laughing upstairs, and you could be like, I'm comforted by the fact that a woman is in the house laughing.
And yeah, he says that makes him not feel lonely.
Yeah.
And to me, that makes me feel lonelier, that there's someone that you love that's there who's laughing, and you could be sharing this moment.
Yeah.
But no, you're downstairs in your own head, in your own world, and you're not stepping out of your world to do this. And I even think, like, with his mom, I would want to go like, well, why don't you go see what your mom's laughing at? I'm sure she'd share it with you. You know, was she watching a TV show? Why don't you go sit with your mom for 5 minutes and watch the thing that she's watching, or she's reading a book. What's she laughing at? What's funny, mom?
Yeah.
You know, and there you go. You know, and then, okay, but here's, and then there was that story about him regretting not kissing his mom, and like saying that deciding not to kiss his mom because he was getting to be too old, and like regretting that till he was like an adult, and finally then when she was older, you know, kissing him. And that reminded me of the story you told on this show about that, and how no dice, you're always going to be getting a kiss from your daughters, which was very sweet. And I went like, God, Dave's doing it right. I bet Dave would go upstairs and see what Lisa's laughing at.
Of course I would. Well, I'm usually in the kitchen. Of course, if I'm in the kitchen and hear her laughing, I immediately pop my hair in the corner.
You are. What are you doing? Your wife's laughing.
Yeah.
Well, of course you're going to go see what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Now here's my question about the artist life. So
the artist life.
Go ahead. Yeah. When you
in a Garrett.
Sure. Kay. Mrs. Garrett from Facts of
Mrs.
Life.
Mrs. Garrett. From
She's Facts an
Life.
Artist.
Yes.
She played Crazy Cat in that old timey thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question. So you're an artist, and you know, back in the old day, you would go out and play with your friends, and then you'd come back and you'd recharge by reading or doing art or what have you.
Yeah.
Now, say you then make a living as a book editor or an artist, or you're coloring a book right now.
Yep.
Does that still count as recharge, or because you're now doing that as for work, does that take it out of the recharge category and make it something different? And then do you need something different to recharge? And is that a problem for someone who, you know, wants to do art as a living?
Huh. I would say...
Do you take away your battery?
I would say no. I think that in a work situation, you can still have your time as an introvert where you're just... It's just your own... I don't think... It doesn't have to be me time. It just has to be quiet time where you're just doing something and it's just a quiet thing that you're doing. Like at work, where I work, you know, I work with people, you know, I'm sort of thrown into conversations a lot, but I love when, I do like talking to people, but I also love when it's just me by myself, doing work by myself, and I just work away in quiet and just with my own thoughts. That's also very appealing. So yeah, I think you can have that at work as well as in...
I would agree with you. I was just kind of curious. Also, that's something I'm throwing out to our listeners as well. If you work in the thing that you used to use to recharge, do you still get recharged by the work that you do?
Yeah.
That's my question. Also, I would love to see a one-man show sometime with you playing all the characters from your work. And I would like to see it called J'adore.
J'adore?
J'adore.
I'll start working that right away.
There's a lot of characters where I work, and one of them is old Billy. He's all like this, Dave, sawed my foot off. You know, whatever.
That guy.
Yeah.
Don't tell stories from work on the air.
No. Well, that's why I made up a name and said a thing that a guy didn't do.
Oh, I told you that story already about the guy.
Old Sawfoot.
That's what we call him.
Right. Now, before
the old softy.
Before we began, you wrote a little something on this piece of paper.
Yeah.
So I just want to direct your attention to it because I don't know what the heck it was.
Well... the one can wait. The other one was,
sure.
I wanted to ask you some questions.
Oh, okay. Why are you turning on that light?
Because
why is it, what?
I need to see.
Oh, I'm starting to sweat a bit here. What's going on?
Yeah, yeah. Let me get
what
the phone book
What are you
hooking
me up to here? What's this
here?
Device? What's, huh? Boop, boop, boop.
I'm going to ask you boop, some, I wanted to, boop. We haven't done this for a while. Slang.
Okay.
Let's do some slang.
Sure, we'll do some slang.
I enjoy slang and we haven't done it for a while. So sure. Now we're going to do some slang phrases from the 1920s. I think you'll find these easy.
All right.
I think you'll find these
easy. Well, don't set it up like that. Then there's no win.
No.
Now, is this because...
No, you're gonna...
Is this because of Seth?
Yes.
All right.
This is based on Seth.
All right.
I'm going to ask you a few of them.
The old swimming hole, huh, Dave? You missed the old swimming hole?
And you're going to tell me what the saying meant at that time.
And how many of these are racist?
I will skip the racist ones.
Okay.
There's 59 of them. I'm going to read you 4.
Okay.
The rest are inappropriate. No.
Is the answer the Rio Statics? No, wait, sorry. This is when Sean Stewart does these. Okay, go ahead.
The answer. Oh, this is the question. This is the saying from this time.
All right.
Banks closed. What does that mean?
Banks closed?
Yeah, banks closed.
Oh, well, that's what like a dad would say to his kid. It's just like not going to give you any more money. Wouldn't that be right?
What banks
closed? Oh, is it going to teller? I'm not going to. That's when teller from Penn and Teller dies.
What to tell someone to stop them making out?
Banks closed.
Nowadays, we would say...
The kissing bank? Is this what it is?
Yeah, banks closed.
Wait, why is that? Okay, I don't quite get that.
What were you doing if you ankled?
No, wait. I'm back to banks closed.
Okay, I did not make up this expression.
The love bank?
This is the bank. Banks closed.
So stop kissing.
Yeah. Stop making out.
No.
The bank's closed.
Wait, you're making out like a bandit.
Maybe that's what it is.
In the bank.
Sure. You can dig it however you want.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that was the expression. I'm not defending it. These people are dead.
By the way, a completely separate person than me.
Yeah.
Asked this question recently, and I thought it was a good point. The expression "making out like bandits."
Yeah.
What do you?
It's not a sexual thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Poor
making out, like getting ahead or doing well.
Like bandits. Do.
Yeah, like bandits.
Well, I guess crime pays in their world.
There you go.
All right, go ahead.
If you were going to ankle, what would you be doing?
I was going to ankle.
Yeah, ankle.
Well, I mean, ankling somebody, if I'm looking at the horrible misery thing from Stephen King, means to just stop them from being able to walk by like hitting them with a hammer on their ankle. But let's say to ankle somebody, I'd say to give them a sexy look because you're checking out their ankles, because back then that's all you could see.
Not quite. This is the age of the flapper, so the skirts had risen considerably.
Okay, all right. What's ankle?
But to walk.
Oh, we're going to go ankle it?
We're going to go ankle it, yeah. We're going to ankle this.
Okay, all right. What were you saying? These were easy.
Yeah, these are easy.
All right. Everybody, by the way, well, here's what I'm going to say to you folks. You might be listening to this after Easter. If you are listening to this after Easter, please put a couple pieces of chocolate in front of you. And if you guess any of these, eat a piece of chocolate.
Yeah, good idea.
Treat.
Good idea.
And by the way, Dave can also join you in that, not at your place, but at home, because he will be off his sugar thing.
Oh,
And here's how you know Dave's off sugar right now. We're doing this.
What are you talking about? This is great. This is great.
I got to be nice to him. He's like right on the edge.
I know I am.
On the edge.
There's a point that I reach in the sugar fast where I'm just really mad at myself.
Right.
And I am right there right now.
I'm going to take it out on Ian by making him do impossible slang.
When I see myself in the
mirror. What do you call porcupine's choice? I don't know. You really like heroin. It's like, okay.
Okay. What is a canceled stamp, sir?
What is a canceled stamp?
A canceled stamp.
I would say that would probably be an unattractive woman.
Yes. A shy, lonely female.
Okay.
Also, another term would be like wallflower.
Sure.
But a canceled stamp. Very good. A cake eater. What would that be?
By the way, a canceled stamp, let me just tell you this much,
yeah,
has been around the world. That shouldn't be a lonely woman. That should be a woman who's done it all, because she's gone on that full trip and she's seen it all and she doesn't need your shit, Bat. She's been on her trip. But what's your next one?
A cake eater. What would that be?
Would it be a cake eater?
Yeah.
A cake eater. Mm-hmm. That'd be someone who's been married more than one time.
Mm, they had their cake and ate it too. No. A ladies' man. Mm. Cake eater.
Explain.
I don't have to explain.
Give me a root. Give me a root word to that.
Yeah,
what do you think, like a cake eater or someone who's eaten more than one cake means you've had your wedding cake over and over again?
That's right.
So he's a ladies' man because he's gotten married them.
Because he's getting all these pieces.
Oh, he's getting a bunch of pieces. Is that what we're going
there
for?
Go. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Seems more that'd be more pie, but okay, go ahead.
I'm going to give you an easy one then.
I'm
feeling sorry for you.
Not at all.
I'm feeling sorry for you. How about this one? Cheaters. What are cheaters?
Oh, damn it.
You know this one. Yes, of course you do. It's so easy. I can't believe that you haven't got any of these so far.
They're not sunglasses. Cheaters. Fuck, I do know what this is, and I'm blanking completely on it.
Okay.
Cheaters.
Okay, well, we'll move on then. We'll just
What are cheaters? Tell me.
No, just let it sit and percolate in your mind. It'll come to you. What is a dewdropper?
A dewdropper is someone who gets up too early in the morning, I would say. Up with the morning dew.
Lazy person.
Why are they lazy? They got up early.
A lollygagger is a dewdropper.
No, they're up with the dew. The dew is only early in the morning. Why does a lazy person have anything to do with dew? Dew is gone by like 8. So clearly they're up earlier than 8. So no, wrong. Cheaters. Get your cheaters on.
What is an egg? A slang, not the actual thing.
Yeah, what is an egg? An easy mark?
Oh, a person who leads an absurdly wealthy or extravagant lifestyle.
Why?
Would be an egg.
Again, that makes no sense. Why is an egg extravagant? Everyone has eggs.
Okay, I'm going to give you an easy one.
Cheaters.
You ready? Here we go.
Oh, bugs me.
A four-flusher. What would be a four-flusher?
Oh, it's a cad.
That's what I always thought. It's not.
Okay, what is
it? It's not. It's someone who mooches off the money of others in order to feign a wealthy lifestyle. It'd be a four-flusher. I don't know.
Is it four-flusher F-O-U-R or F-O-R-E?
F-O-U-R, yeah, like four or something. Four flushes.
Flusher.
Yeah.
Now, all right, let's look at
because they're so extravagant.
They play bridge.
They waste water by flushing the toilet four times.
I would think it would be a bridge-related thing.
Could be a bridge-related thing, yeah, because a lot of bridge things.
That's the thing. If any of these are related to bridge, no one plays bridge anymore. Hey, the last time people played bridge, they had a bowl of pearl onions in front
of
them.
Sure, they did.
That's when those pearl onions went out of style. I double trump you. I bid to trump. Queen, give me some more pearl onions, Jack, because I got my cheaters on.
What if someone is half seas over?
Half seas, as in like H-A-L-F-S-E-A-S?
S-E-A-S, that's right, like a sea, like half a bottle of water, over. But half of a bottle of water over.
Half a bottle of water over.
Yep.
I'd say they're drunk.
Exactly right. Very good. Very good. Cheaters? Got that one yet?
Cheaters.
What if you're going to go iron?
Oh, wait a second. I know what it is. Yep. It's when you wear a false penis.
Got it.
False vagina.
That too.
Both.
Exactly. At the same time. Sunglasses. Or eyeglasses.
Cheaters or eyeglasses?
Cheaters or eyeglasses.
I said sunglasses.
I know. But you said it wasn't. You said not sunglasses. I was like, oh, you're so close.
Oh, you son of a bitch. What are you talking about? You got to go like, no, that's right. Okay.
Son of a bitch.
Right.
What if you're going to go iron your shoelaces?
Go iron your shoelaces.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to go become a cop because you're a flat foot.
To excuse yourself to use the restroom.
All right.
So I'm going to go iron my shoelaces. Everyone goes, like powder my nose.
Really? Because right? I was going to go see a man about a horse.
Here's a good expression. Know your onions.
Uh-huh. Know your onions. You got to be aware of what makes you cry so you don't cry in public because men can't cry back now.
No, know your stuff.
Okay. Still, men couldn't cry back then.
Okay.
Unless you were crying about the war. And even then, it had to be about your old man. Unless you were Irish, in which case you could sing a song. You could cry about Danny Boy. That'd be allowed.
What if you were an Oliver Twist?
You just want more.
That's what that is? A person who wants more?
You want more of everything.
Okay.
What is it?
An extremely good dancer.
No. No. Listen, I was in a musical about Oliver, and Oliver didn't even dance. Oliver Twist doesn't dance.
I can't. These are so easy, and yet you're having so much trouble. I don't understand it. It's
Oliver
weird.
Twist. What year is that from? The 20s? You're a dancer on Oliver Twist.
Yeah.
No, not even close.
What if you went to a petting pantry? What is that? What is a petting pantry?
That's what they used to call the Catholic Church. I would say you're going to a sexy party.
Going to a cinema or a movie theater.
Yeah, it's a sexy
place
party.
It's a place to... No, it's not a sexy party. It's a movie theater.
Yeah, where you do a little heavy padding while the lights go down. That's right. That's a sexy party.
Mm. What if you pulled a Daniel Boone? What did you do?
Oh, you killed a bar when you were only three. No, wait, that's Davy Crockett. Wait, who killed a bar when he was only three? Was that Daniel Boone or was that Davy Crockett?
I think it's Davy Crockett you're thinking of.
Okay, Daniel Boone.
Davy Crockett.
Okay, so Daniel Boone.
Yeah.
Daniel Boone was a man, was a big man. You get a lot of tail because you got that that hat.
To throw up.
Okay. None of these have any root in anything. Like the previous ones you've done, you could logically find your way through. No, but like Daniel Boone?
I don't...
Because you go into the woods to throw up? Like, explain that to me. When was the famous story of Daniel Boone throwing up?
Yeah.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Ever. What kind of
did
hat
he throw up into his raccoon
what kind of
hat?
Yeah, what kind of hat did he wear?
Raccoon hat.
Yeah, exactly.
And so he threw up in the raccoon hat?
Not that
hat?
He threw up in it, but it looks like it's throwing up.
Wait, why does it look like it's throwing up?
Because it's got the tail.
Blah. It's got the tail in the back.
Mm-hmm. It's fine. Same thing. Next one.
How many other animals do you think they wore as hats and just went, let's stick with raccoon? Like a fox hat? Like a fox hat would be something someone would wear,
I'm
but
sure
you
they did.
Didn't stick around that
doesn't,
one.
Doesn't one of the
badger hat?
Character in Mad Max wears a fox hat, doesn't?
Well, that's in the future. It's not in the past.
Maybe. Okay, I'm just going to give you one more here.
When does Mad Max take place? I wonder.
In the past, before our civilization. Then
are you confusing Mad Max with the Flintstones?
Then it's Cars. Then our time.
I do like the idea that Cars comes after Mad Max. Mm-hmm. That is pretty good. That it goes Mad Max, and then finally all the people die off, and then the cars become sentient. It becomes Cars for a while.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm glad you do. What's a WURP?
A WURP? Spell it for
a
me,
WURP.
Please.
WURP.
WURP.
Root word, Greek.
Okay.
No, root language, Greek. No.
Okay, that's when you think you're going to burp, but instead you shit.
No.
All right, what is it?
A wet blanket or buzzkill, a party pooper. Stick in the mud.
A real WURP.
I'm surprised that... You know, I really thought this would be easy for you. I thought you'd just like nail them all.
Yeah, they're all great.
Because they're such common expressions that we still use all the time.
Yeah.
A sock
whistle
up.
While you WURP is that was what they sang to that one wet blanket, Snow White, who
That's
wouldn't
right.
get out of bed.
That's right. The eighth dwarf.
Yeah. Snow.
The eighth dwarf.
Did you get the feeling like if Snow Suzzy. White had stuck around just a little bit longer at the house, she would have shrunk down and become a dwarf too?
No.
And like they were all regular sized dudes at one point.
Never felt
but
that
one
way.
By one, they showed up at the house and got like their life force sucked out by something. And so they became small and then were enslaved in the mine. Yeah, that's what I think. I think she would have become a dwarf over time. Not saying this about actual people who are dwarves. I'm thinking this is a magical dwarf situation.
Okay, one more.
You're going to give me at least two more. Don't even lie that it's like one more.
Okay.
It's like pearl onions. You can't just have one.
Okay. What is a manacle?
A manacle?
This is something you'd wear. A manacle.
A manacle. Well,
think about it. Think about it.
It sounds like a monocle, but it's something that only a man would wear. So I guess a cock ring.
Wow.
What would you say?
Well, the answer is a wedding ring.
Oh, okay. So it is. I was right.
What if someone gave you the icy mitt? What is that?
That's being molested in Canada. These have all gotten very dirty.
Yes, they have. You're frustrated.
The icy mitt, I would say that'd be like a clammy handshake.
No. Try again.
Okay. The icy.
The icy mitt. What is that?
The icy mitt.
The icy mitt. I'll give you a...
Well, you can keep saying it over and over again, but that doesn't help. Okay, so your mitt is a hand.
Yep.
Icy is it's like the cold shoulder you're getting.
There you go. Rejection from the object of one's affection. Very good. I like
Wait,
it.
No, dude.
Yeah,
because
totally.
You've already got the cold shoulder. Why is it now an icy mitt?
It's an icy mitt.
That does not build on it. That does not add to it.
You don't care. You want... You know what? The thing about slang is it's not supposed to be understandable to old folks. It's supposed to be for you. Only your in-group understands what you mean when you say to someone, let me give you a cash. Mm-hmm. Smooch. Only you know that. You don't want some old fogey, some... What's the word for an old fogey we find in here? Some...
A dust bunny.
Dust bunny. Some Mrs. Grundy. That's an actual expression for that time. A Mrs. Grundy. An uptight or straight-laced... You want Mrs. Grundy understanding what you're talking about.
Oh, is that what she was named after?
Yeah, there you go.
Does Weatherby mean anything?
Nope.
Huh.
But there you go. Well, you did really well.
Well, here's my trivia for you.
Sure.
In the original Archie comic, Archie says, never call me Archie. He wants to be called something else. The very first Archie comic.
Is that right?
He wants to be called something else. Like, you know, if you don't want any trouble, you won't call me Archie. You're going to call me... What did he want to be called?
Roy.
Did not want to be called Roy. He wanted to be called something. Let me say this. I'll give you a clue. That he would later really like. He would like this. I would like one of these. Call me this. But it's a slang term for something.
Oh, I'm not sure. No, what?
Well, what's Archie like?
What is he like?
Well, do you tell me.
Veronica and Betty.
Ah, what's a slang term for what they are?
Oh, he wants to be called Chick. That's right.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right. I have read that one. That's right. Yes.
And then it's never really ugly, mentioned again.
The really ugly Archie.
Never mentioned again.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better not ever call me Archie. And then the comic's called Archie. Like, hey, you sons of bitches. I want this to be called Chick. So you want to be called Chick Comics? Well, no, then I got to do a lot of religious stuff. Okay, listen, I'll make this deal. As long as I'm never in a really religious comic. You got it, Archie. Oops. Sorry, Archie. We put you in the religious comic.
The other thing I wanted to talk about was I wanted to give a shout out to one of our listeners, Reed, who was kind enough to make a little video of his favorite Beatle podcast, and he mentioned completely Beatles in it. And I thought that was really nice of him, and I appreciate it. And he also gave a shout out to Sneaky Dragon. So a shout out back to you, Reed. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we did a little mention on our Facebook page about that. So
I don't know if it made it onto the Sneaky Dragon page, but it was on our Beatles page.
No, it was on the Sneaky
Dragon. Oh, was it on Sneaky Dragon as well?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, wait, was it? Was it both? No, sorry, it was completely Beatles. You're right. We haven't put on Sneaky Dragon.
We should do that.
Yep. But it's nice also because if you are interested in Beatles stuff, he does list a variety of other Beatles podcasts and gives you a little bit of a breakdown of what they're about. So, you know, one of them is Alphabetical, which is hosted by Alex Robinson, who has been a guest on our show as well.
That's right.
So, you know, hey, man, it's all inbred. It's all tied in.
It's all tied together.
It's all, you know, the universe collapsing in on itself, man. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eventually, we're all going to be just one big podcast, man. That's the way it is. With all the slang terms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, slang terms from that time period.
You know what I'm going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say like a show that that encapsulates all. Okay, here's what I say. A show that only exists in the past, the kind like we're doing now, right?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to call it A Real Pearl Onion.
What's that?
A Real Pearl Onion. That's a show that you wouldn't have in modern times, but was very popular in the past. And there's probably a bunch of
people
them.
Still have pearl onions now, by the way. People Do still
they?
Eat them.
Folks, you let us know. Also, here's what else is going on. Again, we've got the, hey, you want to have some white spot with us?
Well,
yeah. Give us your name.
That's going to close pretty soon.
Right.
We're going to close that down pretty soon.
Here's the other thing that's going on right now is we did a thing last week and we had a thing a little while ago where you know people called in with a story of the one that got away, whatever that means to you. And what happens is you give us a story that's about 2 minutes in length. Just tell us any story. And then David will, on our website, will give you a little soundtrack for that story. As per example, last week, Lisa gave us a story about her past. And David thought, hey, you know what? That reminds me of The Who. And he made all...
Well, because it wasn't that she reminded me. The Roger Daltrey, the...
David's now spoiling.
Oh, I'm spoiling the story. I'm sorry.
The story.
Oh, shoot.
It is Roger Daltrey related. That's true. And so he decided to put all Who songs on it. And you can check that out at sneakydragon.com to see an example of that kind of thing. If you
can I say what songs I chose?
Sure.
Okay. So the songs I chose were... I have to take my glasses off to read the small writing.
Okay. Hey, Dave, take off your cheaters.
I took off my cheaters. Thank you. So it starts with, let's pretend everyone's heard the story a little. So,
all right, go ahead. Spoil the story. It's fine.
It starts with her story about the bus. So the first song I chose was Magic Bus.
Nice.
A little obvious, but it's a good song. Then because Lisa was in charge, although she was in her early 20s at this time, she was in charge of the young kids. So I chose The Kids Are All Right.
Very good.
Which is a great song anyway. And then the confusion in the elevator. No one knows who anyone is. The Irish hikers aren't sure who this horse riding karate team is. So I chose the song, Who Are You?
Nice.
And then Lisa and her young, the kids she's in charge of, they race off, from the elevator to get away from these weird guys. And so the song was Run, Run, Run.
Good.
Chose that song. And this is a bit of a cheat because that Run, Run, Run.
So you cheated on your wife with this
Run, Run, Run. And the next song are off from the same album. And I felt that was a bit of a cheat, but whatever.
You're fussy.
And then it ends with her saying, who knows what my life could have been if I had gone to dinner with Roger Daltrey. I could have been his wife, could have been a groupie. So I chose a song, So Sad About Us, that she's just sad about the fact that their relationship never came to anything. So, and she ended it with me, which is a distantly poor fourth.
I will disagree, and here's why. If you ever feel bad about not going out with Roger Daltrey, if Lisa's listening to this right now, I want you to watch this movie. You got your pen out for writing down the name of this movie?
Okay.
Vampirella. He is the villain in Vampirella. He wears a Dracula cape.
Okay.
There is a long chase scene at the end where he's chasing Vampirella. Watch that And that's Roger Daltrey. And go like, I could have had that guy. And you will go, I'm lucky to have Dave.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe if you saw him in Liz Domania, you wouldn't like it either.
There you are.
That's a crazy movie.
Now, if you want to be part of the fun in this.
Is that then, in quotation marks? You made it sound like you're whatever, separating it whatever. From actual
reality. One of the easiest ways of going about it is we are on Skype, and you can leave us a message on Skype. Again, we're looking for about 2 minutes or less. So go on Skype and look up Sneaky Dragon, and look for our logo next to that. There may be other Sneaky Dragons, but we're the one with the Sneaky Dragon logo. And leave us a little message there, and we'll do that.
Or you can record it on your phone.
Yeah, that's the other way. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I thought you were going to move on, but you were going to say that. Right?
I was going to say that, yeah. Can record it on your phone or any other device that, you know, record an MP3 and then send it to our email at sneakyd@sneakydragon.com, sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. Now, if you want to just leave us a message, those are options as well, or go directly to our site, sneakydragon.com, and leave a message on our message boards. We're always happy to hear from you there, or on Facebook, Sneaky Dragon, or on Twitter, Sneaky_Dragon, or on Tumblr, sneakydragon.tumblr.com. Those are the ways people mostly communicate. We're not on Instagram yet. Maybe if we wait long enough, it will stop existing. We waited long enough and Vine went away.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. So we're taking a wait-and-see attitude.
Yep.
As most things in my life, I take a wait and see attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think that is all the locations of places that you can talk to us. We'd love to hear from you. And yeah, if you have anything that you want to say, maybe we're too mean on about Seth, tell us to shut up. You know, you can do that if you want. If you
think we're mean to Seth? You know what? I have been mean to Seth in the past. I'm just going to interrupt you for 1 second here. I just want to say what.
Trying to wrap the show.
No, wrap the show. Because we. In the past,
left a baby in the car.
In the past, I have made fun of Seth for putting on what I called a boiler suit and drawing comics. In the movie, it turns out he doesn't put on a boiler suit; he puts on like kind of a big smock coat, like a special drawing jacket that he wears. That's like as if he was some sort of guy working in a mechanic shop or working in a machinery. And I used to make fun of that, but actually. I'm going to take back that fun because I was listening to an interview
I like to see a podcast called Taking Back the Fun.
Taking Back the Fun. You can do it yourself. I was listening to an interview with a different cartoonist, and he was talking about the fact that his wife, for a gift for his birthday, gave him some scrubs for his birthday. Like mm-hmm. So like, you know, those green clothes that doctors or nurses wear mm-hmm. for him to wear when he's drawing. And what those mean when he's wearing those when he's drawing is dad is not to be disturbed. Dad is now at work. It's work time. Dad is in his work clothes.
Yeah.
Not that he thinks he's a surgeon, but these are his special clothes that he wears when he's drawing. Sure. He won't wear other times. He's not going to walk outside in scrubs because he is not a surgeon, so it would be weird. But when he's in his house.
That'd be awful. If someone gets injured in a car accident, like, is there a doctor around? And the guy's in full medical scrubs like, I'm sorry, I'm a cartoonist. I just like to dress up as a doctor.
As a doctor, yes.
I understand. I am terribly sorry that I misled you.
Very misleading.
By dressing completely as a doctor.
I'm now going to run away in my little bootsies, my little elastic bootsies that cover my shoes. No,
he doesn't. Paging Dr. Dedrick. Oh, I got to go.
But I understand the Seth as well, that when he puts on his smock, mm-hmm. that means I'm at work now and I'm not to be disturbed by anyone because I'm not going to go upstairs. Anyway,
and even if I hear laughter or joy.
That's right. Or anything else. Or any entertainment.
And if there's a fire, just let me burn.
Yeah. Yeah. And his wife has to listen to music on the third floor of the house so he can't hear it.
What?
To be fair, she listens to Rammstein.
I don't know what that is.
It's a German heavy metal. Very,
okay.
You know, she's like that kind of industrial music sure kind of stuff. Does. So that's fine.
They both talked in the documentary about how they like to dress up mm-hmm. and they basically have created, they were both into creating personas.
Yes.
And so they both have a persona that they, mm-hmm. you know, have. And so, yeah, I guess it's, you know, part of the persona is the person wears the this and this and that, and whatever. And, if it works for you, there you go. You find out what works for you.
I thought it was funny when we were talking about this the other night, though, and the couple of the people expressed disbelief that his name, which was Gregory Gallant, why he would change that from that striking name to something like as kind of plain as Seth, where you just you know.
Well, I mean, Gregory Gallant, I mean, he had beautiful long blonde hair.
But that was Seth when he was when he had long blonde hair.
But you would think like the guy with the beautiful long blonde hair, that's Gregory Gallant. Because he looks like, you know, he's one of David Bowie's personas, or, you know.
Yeah, no,
and just
no.
like Gregory Gallant would be a good David
Bowie.
That was
his Seth period. Like that was the time.
I understood. But the one thing that you do not mention is that, but you did mention then, and he mentioned in the documentary, was it wasn't just Seth.
Yes. Yeah.
He had a scary last name.
Yes, a scary in quotation marks, I'm sure.
That he will never tell anybody about, nor will he show anyone his tattoo. It's like he will not do those two things. So it's like, oh, so it wasn't like, I'm not Gregory Gallant. I'm Seth
to a blood hunger.
Right. My thought at the time was Stegosaurus. The scariest of the dinosaurs.
Well, it's scary because it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Seth Stegosaurus.
And he said it was very difficult because he had to keep correcting people who would call him Gregory. Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm Seth Stegosaurus. And I'm saying, call him that because he will not say what his last name was. So it gives me the right to make up one. And that's, I'm going to keep that one holding in place until I find out what the actual one is.
I like it.
Yeah.
Seth Stegosaurus.
And then he'd do this. Hard for me to growl. And it's like, you'd add the growl at the end because that made it extra scary.
Yeah. But you'd do it in sort of a goth way. So it'd be more like kind of a growl.
Right.
Kind of a growl. Kind of almost like a louche, kind of a nonchalant growl. And then he'd be disinterested in
you. And then as time moves on and we have the internet, it makes it really annoying to try and look him up. Because it's just one name and a lot of other people have that name. Okay. And so it's very difficult. Yep. You're like, Seth. Oh, you mean Seth Cartoonist? You mean Seth MacFarlane? Fuck me. Okay, let's just try and find this guy. Seth Drawn in Quarterly. Seth whatever. But if you don't know who we're talking about, by the way, worth looking up. He's a very interesting cartoonist.
You didn't really give me an opinion. Did you enjoy the film, though? Did you enjoy the documentary?
Okay. Did I enjoy the documentary?
I'm going to say no.
No, I'm going to say this because it was interesting, right? But now as to enjoyment, was there anything in it that surprised me or gave me more information that I already knew? I would say probably not.
Mm.
Did I think that the animated versions of what I assume were originally comics added to what a comic would tell me in the same way? Like as in, oh, this is much better animated. No, I would say they were similar to what Marvel used to do with their comics in the 60s, where you would have just a little bit of limited animation or something would move, or you'd watch Captain America's legs move slightly.
Mm-hmm.
I think they probably work better as comics than they do as animation. So for all the work they put into the animation, I thought, well, you know, they're probably better as comics, so that doesn't really buy me too much. And then, yeah, when I heard the story of him not going up when his wife laughed, it made me sad. And then when I heard his work schedule, it kind of made me sad.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just wish him the best. Wish him the best. Wish everyone's happy. I hope everyone's happy is what I wish.
Yeah.
Wish they're all happy. Everyone happiness.
I
wish everyone who works really hard enjoys what they do and it recharges them, and that they get enough time as well to go outside, and that all they're going outside isn't just going, well, it ain't how it used to be. Yeah, times are changing. Well, that building's coming down. Cars aren't as good as they used to be. And food doesn't taste as good. Well, back to the basement. I'm going to go ink a page. My wife's laughing. Time to ignore that. I'm sure I won't regret that when I'm an old man.
Yeah.
You know, looking back on my bed going like, I wonder what my wife was laughing about. I bet that'd be great.
Maybe we'd be telling that. I'd be thinking, boy, hospitals aren't the way they used to be.
Yeah.
I remember when I was younger and the hospital was...
Less robots.
Yeah, less robots.
Giving me exams anally.
To be honest with you, Seth and I share a very similar worldview, so I have a lot more sympathy for him than you.
Right. Well, you don't understand is Dave is right now on a penny farthing bike.
What do you call it?
Penny farthing bike.
Oh, I thought you said a fenny farthing bike, so that would have been better.
Oh, I like a fenny farthing bike.
Yeah.
That one has the big wheel in the back.
Yes.
And the tiny wheel in the front, and so you're always falling forwards.
You lean an extreme 45-degree angle facing towards the ground. It is a scary bike to ride, everybody.
Yeah.
All right.
I wonder if anyone ever did a unicycle with that big wheel with the thing and just riding on that.
Yes.
Probably someone did because TV wasn't around and everyone was bored.
Why not? I saw a man in Seattle riding a penny farthing bike.
Mm-hmm. That was the mayor.
It looked scary because how do you get off of that thing? And he did get off, but he had to jump off the back of it because you can't put your feet to the ground. You cannot reach the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They're not very practical. My view of that is not practical.
Well, ask me the question. How do you get off a penny farthing
bike? How do you get off a penny farthing bike?
How do you get off a penny farthing bike? Well, you have to be really attracted to the bike in the first place. And then, okay. So, So anyway, folks, this has been Sneaky Dragon. This is an episode we're not going to air. And next time you hear Dave, he will be full of sugar.
That's true.
Yeah. If you know what his address is, and you may know it from our website, send him candy from around the world. He will eat it.
He will review it.
All right, that's it. I'm Ian Boothby.
I'm David Dedrick.
I hope you have a happy Easter if you celebrate such things. And if you do not, I hope you just have a nice time until we talk to you again. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Hey, buddy, get over here. Ba-dung.